Medivay of American History, From the First Migrations to the Modern Nations, written by James R. Whitfield, narrated by Gabriel Hollander. Thank you for listening. The book begins now. Rolajogui. Before the word America existed, the continent had 1,000 names before it had this one. The Lakota called the land Makah, earth, simply the surface upon which all life moved. The Dine called the territory between four sacred mountains Dine Bikaya, the land of the people. The Haudenosaunee spoke of Turtle Island, a name shared in different forms by Anishinaabe, Lenape, and many other eastern nations, all of whom told versions of a creation story in which a great turtle rose from the primordial waters and offered its back as the foundation of the world. To the Maya of the Yucatan, the land was simply that which the gods had made. To the Mixteca of the high valley of Anahuac, it was the place where the eagle landed on the cactus, the prophesied home where the wandering people would build their city of stone canals. In 1507, a German cartographer named Martin Waldseemüller produced a map. He had been working from accounts of the recent voyages of an Italian merchant named Amerigo Vespucci, who had sailed twice along the eastern coast of what Europeans were beginning to understand was not, after all, a part of Asia. Waldseemüller wrote a Latin form of Vespucci's first name across the southern continent, America. Within a decade, the name was spreading. Within a century, it had become the standard term for the entire hemisphere. By the time the British colonies on the eastern seaboard of North America declared themselves independent in 1776, no one needed to be told what continent they meant when they took the name United States of America. The history told in this book begins long before that. It begins with the people who were already here when the name America did not yet exist for any of the world's languages, and continues through the centuries in which the name was imposed, contested, expanded, and inherited. It is a history that runs underneath the more familiar national history of the United States, the one that begins with Jamestown or Plymouth Rock, and that does not align neatly with any of the dates that mark the conventional periodization. The arrivals of Europeans were epochal events for the people already living on the land, but they did not start the clock. The clock had been running for tens of thousands of years. The numbers, when one tries to grasp them, are difficult to hold in mind. The most commonly cited estimate of the population of the Americas in 1491, the year before Columbus's first landfall, is around 16 million people, of whom perhaps 7 to 18 million lived north of the Rio Grande. Within 150 years of contact, that population had collapsed by something like 90% in many regions, the worst demographic catastrophe in human history. Disease, not war, did most of the killing, smallpox, measles, influenza, typhus, all sweeping through populations that had no immunity, often arriving before any European set foot in the affected territory, carried along trade routes that had been in use for centuries. Whole nations vanished before they were ever seen by a European chronicler. What we know of them, we know from archaeology and from the surviving descendants who carried fragmentary memory forward through generations of catastrophe. This is part of the difficulty of writing the history. So much of what existed in 1491 is gone, and what remains is filtered through the records of the people who came after, most of whom either did not understand what they were looking at or had reasons not to record it accurately. The painted manuscripts of the Aztec scribes were burned by Spanish priests as the work of the devil. The wampum belts and birch bark scrolls of the Northeast were lost or scattered in colonial wars. The oral traditions of nearly every indigenous society were transmitted through languages that the colonizing powers actively tried to suppress, in some cases through deliberate policies that continued into living memory. The recovery of this history in the work of the past half century has required listening to sources that were once dismissed, retranslating documents that were once mistranslated, and reading the silences in the colonial archive as evidence in their own right. What the recovered history shows is a continent that was, in 1491, not a wilderness, but a landscape shaped by human hands for thousands of years. The vast bison herds of the Great Plains existed in the form they did partly because indigenous fire management had kept the prairies open. The great forests of the East were managed through controlled burns to encourage game and edible plants. The Amazon was dotted with terra praetice, the dark, fertile soils created by long-term human settlement, and may have supported populations far larger than was thought a generation ago. In the